When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We'll get back to you. Paul's here talking football all day long. In case you miss anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Well, there was a third game being played yesterday by a local team, BT, after the Giants embarrassed themselves in Germany early on in the morning, and then the Jets embarrassed themselves late afternoon. Like you said before, I did the same thing, switched it right over. I'd see you, Jets. They can't get the job done here. This is a non-competitive game. I'm going to go watch the Knicks. And the Knicks, again, disappointed on the road in Indiana. I hate the Pacers so much. But another frustrating game. Look, Cat had some tough buckets. I love Karl Anthony Towns, although him and did you see the Melo stuff?
I did. Yeah. I did see that, where Karl Anthony Towns was with Carmelo before that, and he cited Carmelo as his inspirational. I mean, listen, good for Cat. I mean, yeah, but I'm not a huge Melo guy, but you know, hopefully Cat wins more than Melo won here.
You know, I was going to say, if he's anything like Melo, then we're all screwed, and that's what Cat was talking about. Oh, I'd love to be Carmelo. I'm still not going. Brunson had a terrific game. I'm still not going to worry about the Knicks. I think right now they're just depleted. They have no depth. They're banged up. And you know what? They ran into it. Hey, look, if you can't, like in football, if you can't stop the run and run it, you have no chance. If you can't stop the three or shoot the three, you're screwed. And the Knicks couldn't do either yesterday.
They shot 28% from downtown. I'm still worried about this team. Again, I want to make sure it's measured. You and I were talking about this the other day. Giving up 40 points in the fourth quarter is disgusting. Now, on the surface, that's what they gave up yesterday in Indianapolis. On the surface, like, you're like, all right, OG had 25, and Karl Anthony Towns had 30, and Jalen Brunson dropped in 33 and was efficient in the process, and you had 16 and 10 and 6 from Josh Hart. Problem is, nobody else on the team. I mean, and I know that the bench is eventually going to get a little bit restored. You know, they pick up the kid, Matt Ryan. He didn't play yesterday. Kolick's getting intermittently a little look here and there. McBride's going to get the lion's share of the minutes coming off the bench here. I think Jericho Sims is a stiff. I'm sorry. He's tall. That's all he's got. Otherwise, I don't think he'd be in the NBA. I've seen not an ounce of progression from him. And I am very worried. And, you know, I am going to give them a grace period to grow a little bit. But I am very worried that the Knicks, when they made the trade that they made, they traded their heart. And their best assets last year were, for me, Brunson turning into a superstar, their chemistry and heart, and their depth. The depth will slowly be restored, not to last year's extent, but a little bit. So I don't want to overstate that. But you lift up the hood of these Knicks, and it's different from last year's Knicks, and I don't like that.
There's one thing I'm concerned about, and yesterday was frustrating too, because the game wasn't as bad as it seemed, or the final score would say. They had a chance down the stretch, didn't hit free throws, which drives me up a wall, not being able to hit clutch free throws, and then Indiana just pulled away. Like, the Knicks couldn't guard them, they didn't guard them, and Indiana was hitting every three that they took. The one thing, and before I get to the one concern, I do love Karl Anthony Towns. I really love him as a player. Again, getting some tough buckets yesterday in that game. I'm a little concerned about the lack of impact that Bridges has had.
He was awful yesterday.
Dude, he's been a zero.
Yeah, he's had a couple of good games. He's 0-for-6 from downtown.
I know, but
yesterday,
remember, this is not just some bit role player.
Like, I know.
They traded a lot to get him here.
First round picks.
He's supposed to be, at the very least, if he's not a superstar or an all-star, borderline all-star.
Yeah, he's definitely not a superstar.
He seems too passive almost, like too nice and trying to fit in too much where I want to see a little more dog.
Yeah. Well, listen, in his defense, I think it's tougher to fit in. Like, when you're with the Nets and you're getting the lion's share of shots, and, you know, one thing about when you get off to a rough start and you're the man, even if you're the man on a team that's not that good, you can shoot your way into it. You know, you can also shoot your way out of it, but you've got that latitude to just fire it up and get going. It's kind of like Jalen Brunson now, even though there's some talent around him. Like, if Jalen's 1-for-8, nobody's going to get mad if Jalen Brunson takes, you know, 7 more shots before the half to try to find it, because we know that he will. But for this Knick team, and what did we talk about with the acquisition of Bridges? We're like, well, they got 2 marksmen, and they've got 2 great defenders, but yet they give up 40 points in the fourth quarter yesterday. Now, the Pacers are pretty good. I know they're
still.
I know that's not good. And the other thing, and Carl is a very, very talented player, but you look, and don't just look at the 30 points. You know, hey, how many assists did he have? Not one. He played 39 minutes. He didn't have an assist. How many steals? None. I know he's not Gary Payton playing point guard, but none. How many blocks? 1. That is important stuff. It just close your eyes and think about Hartenstein, whether he's setting the screen, getting the offensive rebound. The Knicks had 8 total offensive rebounds yesterday. Not good enough. They're very different. Hartenstein was stronger and tougher than people thought, and I think he may have been, along with Brunson, their most intelligent, highest IQ player. So they're different. I'm sorry. It just doesn't mean that they can't eventually become better. But Sal, I brought it up a week ago. I'm not going to go nuts here. I think that this team is going to frustrate us most of the season.
I'm fine with them being different in that regard with Towns versus Hartenstein, although I know what you're saying about them missing that. I'm not fine with what you touched on before that, the perimeter defense, because that's not something that was supposed to be worse. It was supposed to be better.
Yeah.
By bringing in Bridges to complement Ananobi, you're supposed to defend the perimeter and defend the 3, and they haven't done that almost at all this year. And on the opposite side of that, knocking down the 3. Like yesterday, how could that happen? Period. How could that happen? Giving up all those 3s and not being able to shoot 3s. You cannot win like that in today's NBA. Not to mention the depth. Although, before we get back to the calls here, BT, schedule here. At Philadelphia Tuesday.
Okay, they're a mess. They're banged up, but they're getting a little more whole.
That's going to be a fun game.
Actually, they're starting. What are, really, he's, I mean, so they're not fully healthy. Okay?
No, they're not.
Should be a fun game.
Still going to be a fun game. Just, I want to further bury this.
Yeah, go down there and win again. Make ourselves at home like always.
Home against the Bulls.
They stink.
And then 3 home games in a row. 2 against Brooklyn.
Yep.
Friday and Sunday. And then Monday against the Washington
Wizards. 1, 2, 3, 4. So you're talking about 5. And then even the road trip at Phoenix. KD got hurt.
Yeah.
So, but let's just take next 5 games.
1, 2, 3.
I mean, dude, if you don't go, if you don't go 4-1, what are we doing here?
Minimum, and really they should go 5-0.
Yeah, if they clip the Sixers tomorrow, then you would think that they could go and very likely should go 5-0. I don't think that they will.
I mean, let's not lower the expectations here. As you said, this was supposed to be a team with championship aspirations.
Yep.
The Wizards stink. The Sixers have been a complete mess. I know the Nets are playing better, but you have 2 games against the Nets at home. You're not going to be able to beat them twice.
Yeah, no, you should.
And the Bulls, I mean, all these teams are under 500 except the Nets. The Nets are under 500.
Yeah, they started off better. I think they've lost a few in a row. Listen, this is not being unfair to the Knicks. This is just us reacting to the new bar that the Knicks established themselves.
Right.
You want to be talked about like the Yankees and trying to win a championship, and the Mets should have a big offseason, and the Mets going into next season. All right, well, With that focus comes more criticism, and some people will perceive it to be uber criticism or unfair. I don't, because the way they won last year was a recipe that was transferable, because even if they miss shots, they can still win games. This Knick team, this is maybe the thing that scares me the most. This Knick team, if they're not banging in 3s, I don't see a next layer of toughness or resilience to win different types of games like last year's team.
I think this is where the run starts.
I hope you're right.
Tomorrow night. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Michael is in Stony Brook. What's up, Michael?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for making it. What's up,
buddy? What's up?
So I emailed, 2 things about the GM and coach search for the Jets, but I emailed the Jets this morning and told them not to renew my tickets for next year.
Wow.
I'm done. This is, can't do it.
Can't imagine you'd be alone in that regard, but still, that's saying something there.
These last 2 years have been torturous. When it comes to a GM and coach for next year, any hot prospect is not going to want this job, not with a 40-year-old quarterback running the franchise.
Hey, well, so that's why. But, Mike, I'll let you finish there, Mike.
Cut bait.
Yeah. Well, that's why I gave you the blueprint and the roadmap to do that. I actually gave you the numbers, like post June 1. I don't want to go through it again, but it's on the Free Odyssey app. I laid it out for you. There's an avenue. There's a soft landing for the Jets if they've got the stones to actually move on from Aaron Rodgers, which they should.
They won't, because Woody's a fanboy. Woody loves the celebrity Aaron brings to the team.
Yeah.
Well, Woody can't be loving this at all. So, I mean, even Woody has to be like, okay, and reassess everything. Yeah, I love the star and, you know, want to be a jock, whatever. You know, you can't ignore the reality here. I still think Rodgers is their best option, though, to play quarterback next year.
They should just tear it down and rebuild. And, you know, this is all dependent on Woody making good decisions, which we haven't seen that for a few decades now.
No. You know, the biggest problem, you're right, thanks. You haven't, and thank you for the call, Michael. And look, credit to you. I'm not suggesting people do that, but I myself, I would have tapped out probably a while ago, but if you're not getting enjoyment out of going to these games, you spend a lot of money and you're taking a lot of time to go do it, I don't know how you could commit. Like, they need to show me something before I just blindly say, oh yeah, next year will be great. No, show me something before I invest in that. But I would look to obviously hire a new entire staff, GM, head coach, whatever. Maybe talk to the head coach and give him more control over picking the players if that's what it takes to get somebody of note in here. And then let him make the decision on Rodgers. And I believe at the end of the day, like, Rodgers is going to be the best option to play quarterback for next year for this team. That's what I think, but I'd be open to letting the new head coach, assuming it's a good one, mm-hmm, with experience, make that decision.
Yeah, if the games look differently, but they still had the same record, I might be on board with that. But he's missing throws. He's not seeing things. I was watching some of Baldy, of course, while Baldy on later in the week. He had some plays where he just flat out missed them, missed throws, didn't see guys. I mean, Rodgers he's not been good enough, period. And I was thinking about this too, you know, and it's unfortunate. Think about the enjoyment that, you know, our last caller and so many others extract by going to the games and having a good time. And when you actually say, I'm done, I'm out, that represents a sad day in the life of a sports fan here. And I'm going to take it a step further, although I get it, trust me. You know, when you think of the total amount of Jets fans, and that's a big number because we're a big area, right? The number of Jets fans, and then you incorporate the amount of financial and emotional investment, because Jet fans are great fans. They're passionate. They're nuts. They're always in it. And then it's expensive to go to games, and it's New York and New Jersey. And then you weigh that with what they've actually gotten for their fandom. It's the worst deal in all sports. There's not a worse mathematical equation. I mean, you tell me, well, Cardinals fans, Lion fans, all right, well, Detroit's not as expensive as New York. Detroit's not as big as New York and New Jersey. So that's what I say. A very specific model. The sheer volume of Jets fans versus what they spend and what they tap into emotionally versus what they've been given, it is the worst equation mathematically in sports.
The only thing I would say is you do have Fireman Fred to go and enjoy.
Well, they're not even showing him enough on the board. He's complaining about that.
Fireman Fred worried about that.
You do have some unhinged podcasts as well as a result. Yeah. So I guess there's always that plus there.
Unkillable podcast. Yeah, but as far as the experience going to the game and stuff like that, Ed is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Ed?
BTSL. Hey guys, yesterday was one of the worst days ever in for football. I got to tell you, man. But just on the whole Jet thing, I'm with you, BT. I myself would move on. I really don't want Rodgers. But I do like your idea, because if they do bring him back, and I think they probably will, I think one of the previous callers said it, Woody will do it, even though it's a smart thing to do. Mike McCarthy, why not? Give him everything. You know, he's going to have his old coach. He has wide receivers, so if you're going to go that route, bring him in.
Well, let me just stop you for one sec, Ed. See, there's a difference between me wanting Rodgers back and placating Aaron Rodgers and running the organization through him. That I'm not doing. I would have never done that to begin with, but I'm not doing that under any circumstance. So Rodgers, in my opinion, if I'm running the Jets, has no say on who I bring in.
Yeah.
I think Rodgers is the best quarterback for the Jets next year. But what I want Woody to do is hire a real head coach and have him have the total say over everything and not placate Aaron Rodgers at all, not even a smidge.
I got you, but I don't think he's going to do that. But anyway, a name I brought up, you guys mentioned, when I called Hoff, I mentioned his name right before you guys mentioned it, Brian Flores. I think that's a guy who can make a difference.
I threw his name out.
Let me tell you something. Because when he was with the Dolphins were trying to tank,
And they still won games because he didn't allow them to lose games. Even when they took all his players and were trading players away, that guy got his team to play. So he showed me some stones, okay? Yeah. And I think he would be a good fit for New York. Let me tell you right now.
Hey, by the way, he's one of us, a New York guy. Yeah. Poly prep, et cetera. Listen, I always
love Flores.
Yeah, I threw his name out there. I don't know exactly what's going on with the lawsuit. That's going to matter for, you know, it's one thing if you're an assistant, another thing if you're the main guy.
He's still employed. I mean, he's a defensive coordinator. He's still employed.
That's true. He's still under the shield, so it can't be. Yeah, I got you. The thing about Rodgers, just back to him for a second. Now, number one, I thought he'd play better. Okay. But the other reason why I was excited with Rodgers coming here is that, you know, I really thought that he would elevate the building and that he would be a culture builder and help, you know, plant some seeds of winning and morale and just a different thought process. That hasn't even happened.
Okay, but I think it's a great point, but don't you think he tried?
Oh, I don't doubt that he tried, okay, but he failed, so I don't even care.
Yeah, but why did he fail? Is it because he's not good enough, or is it because the stiffs that they have in that locker room think that they're better than they are, or the head coach let things get out of control? Like, you're exactly right what you just said, and that's why I would not give up on Rodgers, because I watch him and listen to him, and I still believe he's trying to do that, but he's getting frustrated, and he's taking some accountability, saying, look, maybe I got to be better and not get frustrated in certain spots, and... But I feel like, and I was going to say maybe it's too little too late, but I still feel like he's got the right mindset and the right attitude to do it. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it hasn't gotten through to these guys. And I would say that that's more on them than it is on him. But I don't know. I'm not there every day in the locker room.
I think he's got the right attitude. I think he's got I think he's well-intentioned. But here's the difference. Like when you cross the bridge from being a star to somebody who's just, you know, slightly above average at this point, which is what he is. Now you just kind of come across as an old guy. You just do. It's one thing if you're slinging 35 touchdowns. Yo, that's the OG, right?
Yeah.
You ain't scoring points. You scored 6 points.
Plus, maybe.
He had no points in the first half against the Texans the other night.
Plus.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not doing what people thought. So that reverence, that's an important word. Like, I think when he first entered the building, there was a fair amount of reverence. Like, wow, this is Aaron Rodgers. My God, look at who we get to play with. And then they play with him and they're like, nah, he's not quite the guy that we thought we were getting, and now he's just a bit of a loner and a bit of a weirdo, and now we don't vibe with him.
What if it's because he was trying to hold them accountable, unlike anybody else in that building?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, too.
And then that turns off these sensitive little babies who haven't accomplished squat in their life, where they're like, oh, man, he's going to yell at me like that? Come on, man.
Yeah, you won't think about this. I love half of the point. I think it's really applicable in a lot of cases, but it's not applicable here because he's not doing his job. If he was carrying the mail the way we thought he would and certainly hoped that he would, and the franchise thought and hoped that he would, then getting on players, you know, pointing the fingers, rolling the eyes, doing whatever he's doing, saying things on McAfee, Mike Williams, you know, not disparaging, but, you know, basically, you know, letting us know what he's really thinking, I think it flies more. Because you're forced to follow him because he's giving you results and the results are intoxicating. Now, he's not getting them in the end zone. They're not winning games. And now they're just like, he's just the old guy who's just not what he was. And I ain't following him.
Yeah, and it certainly
That's what I think it is.
It certainly wouldn't hurt to have, you know, a real head coach in the building from the beginning. BT and Sal back on the Fan. In case you missed anything so far today, check it out on the free Odyssey app. We'll get back to your calls here in a second. One thing... I don't want to say, it did kind of bother me a little bit from yesterday. It ties into the Giants here. Nick Costos basically said the same thing you were saying, BT, about this. You said this is the lowest point in the history of the Giants.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so Nick was tweeting out yesterday, today was the lowest point in the Giants over the last 40 years. And Mike Arafolo, you know him?
I know Mike well. I like Mike.
Right, so he responded, and this bothered me for some reason. Now, I'm probably ticked off watching the game, aggravated with that. But Mike goes, and Mike's very good at what he does with the NFL and reporting.
He is good.
He goes, on the bright side, it gets you closer to drafting a quarterback while clarifying the current QB, ain't it?
Well, the clarification was in a while ago for most of us.
I mean, did we need to see Daniel Jones in Germany against the Panthers lose to clarify that he ain't it?
Schnitzel.
I'm not trying to pick on Mike here, but I mean, clarifying? We're clarifying that Jones ain't it? How many more years do we need to, like, it took you 6 years to figure out that Jones ain't it? I mean, anybody who's actually watched this team should have known that this was the case for you. That set me off. I know it shouldn't, but so much so that I made a note.
Hey, we're fragile football fans at this point. Any tweak could get us going.
I get it, but come on. While clarifying that, Mike, we didn't need clarification. We knew. He ain't it. We've known he ain't it. For some reason, the owner needed clarification. And I don't even know if he knows at this point. He might still be saying, well, we're without Andrew Thomas, and we've done everything we could to screw this kid up. Oh, my God.
I got a question for you.
Sorry, go ahead.
Who do you think gets fixed quicker? This is more of a deeper conversation. Yeah. But first, you know, first gut.
Yeah, I mean, we probably should save this. We're going to need it.
It's a huge during a quiet, slow day. And first gut. You can change it when we actually do it in depth.
Well, how about this?
Sustained success. Not just one good year and then back to being the Jets and the Giants.
So who do I think's closer to
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sustained success. God, that's a great question. I mean, the real answer is neither.
Neither.
Yeah, but if you had to pick one, which really ticks me off.
Can't even like point to anything.
There's nothing like, okay, let's be positive for a sec. Positive BT and Sal.
Okay.
Paint a picture first for the Jets of why there's reason to believe that there could be success in the near future.
Their division's not great, even though Josh Allen's still in his prime. You know, the Dolphins are eh, and the Patriots are still a ways away. So with some buttoned-up coaching, you know, and maybe stylistically you rely on the run game and, you know, you win differently. Maybe there's a path to a couple of competitive seasons, almost like an old-school Rex playbook. Defense.
You might have Rex.
Yeah, I just don't want to do that again, but I'm not going to rule them out. I get it. You know, defense, run the ball, possess time, work the clock a little bit. That's from the Jets' perspective. For the Giants.
Hold on. Let me give you my Jets first, and then we'll do the Giants. For me, it's that they're going to have a clean slate as far as a new general manager and new head coach, and they come into a situation with some talent on the roster. We could rip them all we want. They're not barren the way that they were with Gase.
I agree with that.
Okay. So there's a starting point
there. That's what makes it so frustrating.
Understood.
If they had Adam Gase's roster, we wouldn't be this, you know.
Understood. It wouldn't even be, right. So that's what makes it frustrating. But if you hire the right guy, whether it's Gruden, whoever, like we could have conversation about that, who it is, they come in and they say, okay, this is what we want to do. You still potentially have Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he is under contract.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he's declining, I would still take him over most quarterbacks right now in the league. It's certainly at least half of them.
Kyler Murray or Aaron Rodgers?
I'd probably take Kyler Murray.
Okay, yeah, keep going. I just didn't know based on who they play. I got you. Keep going.
And now there was a point where I didn't like Murray. But
yeah,
my goodness,
me too. That's why I asked you that. Me too.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot of... I mean, we go over the list. Anyway, point is they have some pieces in place that with the right coach,
mm-hmm.
they can be competitive next year and be a legit playoff team. Okay, so those are the positives for the Jets. Doesn't mean it's going to be the case, but we're making a case for which team would have more success in the near future. At least you could paint that picture with the Jets. Now try the Giants.
And before we get to the Giants, what the Jets, and I guess even the Giants need to find, is they've got to find their Tom Thibodeau. They'll find that guy.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Who just restores some pride. And
it took time to do
it. I know it did. Like, but the little things that you can really control, you know, like not jumping off sides, tackling properly. Anyway, being more buttoned up. And then eventually edge the talent base. And yeah, you have the foundation of Tom Thibodeau. Giants... Oh, boy. The Giants. Make a case for the Giants being their future more optimistic than the Jets. All right, so the Eagles are going to be good for a while. But listen, I could start with this. In football, windows close quicker than in the NBA. And so right there, like even though Philly's incredibly talented and the Commanders look very interesting, like the year-to-year changes, abrupt changes to football, do kind of make it a year-to-year proposition. Now,
look at the Texans this year.
the Texans this year with two injuries to their receivers. Their O-line, yeah, even though they have a really good young quarterback and what they did a year ago.
Based off of last year, it was like, oh, here come the Texans to the Super Bowl.
We thought they'd be, you know, 3, 4, 5 years on this upward trajectory. They took out the Jets beat them. That's all you need to know.
Right.
The other thing about the Giants, and I think this is advantageous, although they've got some money tied up in Daniel Jones, the contract was at least structured so in a way that after this year it's less punitive. So I believe financially that they are in a better place than the Jets are in terms of their commitment to Rodgers. Now, Rodgers is better than Jones, but not good enough to elevate the franchise. So if both the Jets and the Giants want to divorce their current quarterbacks, it's easier for the Giants to get away from theirs than it is for the Jets.
Right. I'm trying to paint the picture how, like, I could give you a path to the Jets being a playoff team next year. Now, beyond that, like, sustained success, can't go there yet.
No.
It's hiring the right guy, building a foundation next year with Rodgers and some of the talent that they have, and then beyond that, we'll see. With the Giants, they're in a different spot. They were not built to be a team that was, you know, supposed to be Super Bowl contenders this year like the way that many people talked about the Jets being. Like, how can you make a case for them being ultra-competitive next year? I would say Shane and Dable at least have shown some signs, being that they did go on a playoff run their first year, but They don't have a quarterback in place. The defense, while at times has been okay, it's been inconsistent.
Yeah, and it's getting a little leakier by the week here. And I don't blame, because they've been carrying the energy for the team. They're probably tired and worn down.
Like, the offense, again, while they have some players and at times can show a decent offensive line, I like Tracy as a running back, but, you know, Neighbors and Robinson, but we've still seen the offense be so bad. Mm-hmm. Like, the path for me to the Giants is not necessarily playoffs. It's just something that should have happened 3 years ago, and that's moving on officially from the Barkley Jones era. It took him too long, even with Barkley, and it's taken him way too long with Jones. But the hope is that you clean it up in that regard and have this regime pick their quarterback, mm-hmm. and at least you're watching something different. While you hope, I don't know if you could base it off of anything other than hope with the Giants right now. Yeah, they have some players, sure, but I mean, they're 2-8. There's no, like, the Jets could be fixed potentially by a good coach. I think the Giants have a good coach. And let's say, who's the best coach out there? Belichick? Vrabel? Who do you think is the best coach available?
I mean, one of those two. I said probably Belichick. I mean, Belichick's the greatest of all time. Okay, I'm going to say Bill.
So Belichick comes in, takes over this Giants team. Are they a playoff team next year?
No.
Okay, so then that's
No, I don't think that they are.
That's kind of the point. And are they building?
If he takes over the Jets for the Jets, it's easier to say yes.
I think they are.
I tend to agree. You know, the only thing about Dable, and I want to be fair to Brian here, like I don't like the call. I get it. You're kind of coaching around some things, but when it's third and one and you can't line up and get a yard, you got to do a flea flicker. It does speak to the lack of talent and belief in the big boys up front, whatever. I get that. So I'm defending Dable a little bit. And by the way, the design actually worked.
It worked.
I know. If Daniel Jones would have unleashed the football, I actually took a screenshot and I circled to it wide open. You see that? But, do you sit there and watch the Giants on Sunday, independent of their lack of talent, because we know that it's low compared to most of the other teams, and sit there and say, man, these are some real innovative offensive concepts.
No.
This is interesting stuff.
No.
I never say that.
If anything, it's the opposite.
Okay, so
I don't mind an old school approach, a more conservative approach, me personally.
Yeah.
But I don't watch that and say, wow. Like, it shouldn't be this hard.
But isn't that what we thought we were getting with Dable? Like, this innovative offensive mind?
Yeah, I never believed in the quarterback whisperer nonsense.
I'm not even using that terminology. I'm not. I mean, because I think that's hijacked and overstated. And Josh Allen's, you know, twice as good as Daniel Jones. So, I mean, you or I could look competent with Josh Allen. We could run,
without knowing anything about
the playbook.
I wanted a good head coach, not a good coordinator. I didn't want a Cliff Kingsbury type. His name came up before, so we used. I didn't want that. I wanted a good head coach. And I think that they have one with potential. But again, I keep saying I think that the record is what it is.
I know.
To answer your question in a long-winded way here, I think that the Jets are closer to having more immediate success.
Yep.
Whereas the Giants, there's an unknown for even future success. There are question marks all over the place now.
And I agree with you. I get to the same place as you, but what is unnerving about that equation, even if we're right, like, let's say that Rodgers is back next year, 50-50 he's not. Let's say Rodgers is back and he plays well. Now it's down to probably 25% chances. But it's
right,
not going to be
him.
Yeah, but it's not going to be. Yeah, once he's gone, there's no guarantee that the next Jet quarterback is better than Daniel Jones.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of trap doors out there with NFL quarterbacks.
So basically, in summation of this segment, and we'll finish up with your calls when we come back, both teams are in big trouble, not beyond this year. Like, there's no way out.
I think the best way to summarize it is there's always a way out. I'm going to push, but there's always a way out. It's getting murky and a little tough to see through the trees here with both of these teams, but there's always a way out. The problem, though, is I can't look at either team and say I see a path to sustained success. At least with the Jets, I could see maybe they tighten a few things up next year and based on some talent. But even then, it seems like a one-off.
And by the way, I would sign right now for at least something different. Meaning, like, the Giants don't have to win 9 or 10 games next year as long as they have a new quarterback, a young quarterback, and you watch him try to develop. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. For sure. That's realistic.
Maybe the same thing with the Jets, too. New head coach, whatever, and they decided we want to blow it all up, and then they have a new quarterback. I'm fine with it. Like, I just can't watch these versions of this team and teams anymore doing the same exact thing with the same people.
It's not fair. That's all there is to it.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's call of the day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey, and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Patrick is in Melville. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, I'm going to have to push back on the Dable. Dable had some great plays. He caught everybody with the flea flicker. Those receivers are running wild, and Daniel Jones is like, where do I throw the ball? I mean, it's kind of like, guys, what can you have the coach do? You draw up great plays, and they just...
Two guys running wide open! They're running wide open! And he's afraid to throw it! Frank is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Frank?
Hey, Frank.
Starts with the owner. Remember in Hard Knocks, the last cut, I don't remember who it was, but Salah jumping all over him, telling him he's one of us now. I don't know what one of us is, not missing the playoffs for 12 years. That's not one of us. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be one of you. So Salah right there started that ridiculousness.
Okay.
Number two, if Aaron Rodgers got the Jeopardy job, which he begged for and wanted, would he be the Jets quarterback right now?
Oh, boy. I mean, this is what it's come to, talking Jeopardy and Aaron Rodgers. It's been a rough day. We will start to turn our attention to baseball again, BT, as this hot stove is going to be all important. One quick note that I saw, you know, Boone spoke today. Obviously, him and the Yankees, you know, the Yankees picked up the option for 2025. He's excited to be back, but Boone said that they have not had extension talks.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be, remember we talked about, okay, yeah, well, is he going to be a lame duck or have the extension talks? He has not had those yet with the Yankees.
That's interesting because, you know, he doesn't have the juice to demand one, but yet he's interesting enough where... And accomplished enough, to be fair, based on the winning percentage and all the playoff years except one. Like, but he doesn't have that ultimate say, that ultimate position of authority, because he hasn't won a World Series. And he got barely outmanaged in this one.
Right. You just weird going in the year again as a lame duck. But anyway, more on that tomorrow and the Soto sweepstakes.
I saw something, and we will do this tomorrow. Yeah. You're right. Some of these projections, it was a really well thought out and well chronicled piece, but we'll save it for tomorrow. But I'll give you this little snapshot here. That there's a thought that the projections are way above what they might actually be.
So coming back to 6-something?
Lower. I'll save it for tomorrow. Lower.
Under 6?
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's where I think that those projections are going to be wrong.
Mm. Your boy blown it out the water?
Yes.
Well,
because think about it. If the Yanks say, okay, well, we'll give you 6. And everybody's like, wow, that's more than everything else. Steve Cohen will be like, I'm going to
give you 7.
He's 657, right.
Yeah. Well, like, you can't bake in... Right. What you don't know. Yeah, I agree. There's definitely a lot of variables there, but I didn't find it interesting enough. We'll bring it up tomorrow.
Awesome. Love it. Let's finish up on the phones. Blake is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Blake?
Hey, Blake.
Hey, what's up, guys? Regular caller here. How you guys doing?
Good, Blake. How are you?
Good.
I'm doing good, man. I really enjoy your show. You guys are very entertaining. I enjoy calling, and I definitely appreciate the platform. I'm going to talk a little Giants. Mm-hmm. Sal, man, you're a very passionate dude. So are you, BT. Sal, when it comes to the subject of Daniel Jones, man, I can't agree with you more, man. The guy is garbage. He stinks. They need to get rid of him. I would have got rid of the guy. I would have benched him after the Dallas game when he made Malik Nabers look like a center fielder. And then when they went off sides and he threw the free play to Darius Slayton and he couldn't even reach him. But here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. Daniel Jones needs to go, but I'm not so sure that the coach is the right coach either. He goes for all these 2 points to your point, BT. You know, you talk about this analytical garbage. I mean, I don't like that new style of coaching. I don't know. I mean, I did like the flea flick. The guys were wide open. I just don't know if Brian Daboll's the right coach. I don't. Daniel Jones has got to go. And Joe Shane, real quick. Last year, we had Saquon Barkley, you know, approaching free agency. Now, you got to get a feel if the guy's going to re-sign with you, okay? We don't trade him, you know, and I get it. Oh, it's a big cultural shock, and, oh, you know, you don't trade a player like that because of the morale that he has in the locker room. Well, how far did that take you, right? The guy goes and signs with the Philadelphia Eagles. Then this year, you know, we're not trading Ojulari, right? I bet you we don't re-sign Ojulari, which is fine. I mean, we don't need to re-sign him, but we don't trade him. And he was one of the hottest names on the trade deadline. We don't trade him. We don't trade Singletary with the emergence of Tracy. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing as a general manager? What are we doing coaching this team? What are we doing? Like, where are we going with the New York Giants? Yeah. I would just love to know where we're going.
I'd love to tell you, Blake, and thanks for the call. I don't have a good answer for you. I mean, it's a lot there. And look, Daniel Jones, this is why I listed to start the show. And in case you missed anything, check out on the Free Odyssey app. This mess that we are in predates this year. It predates Daniel Jones and Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. To me, it all started within it. Well, I mean, you could really trace it back and say it all started with the way they pushed Coughlin out. But specifically, where they had a chance to change their franchise. Think about this. Eli Manning clearly was past his prime.
Yep.
It was over for Eli. As much as it pains us to say that it was over for Eli, the Giants stumbled into the number two pick overall with quarterbacks available, and they chose a running back. And we're now chasing ever since. That's the problem, because the Barkley pick led to the Jones pick, led to Gettleman getting fired, led to this and that, and here we are, like, led to the neighbors pick. That's the problem to me. So where are they going? I don't see a way out of this anytime soon.
Well, and here's the irony of the Saquon stuff, which obviously is it was the wrong move, and you can't justify taking that position at number two, obviously, as the running back's been de-emphasized, and Saquon's great, but we know why you don't do that at two. Their best players were drafted by Gettleman. So the dumbest thing that they did was done by Gettleman. Right. And the best things that they've done was done by Gettleman. Andrew Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah. It's just one disgusting display of football after the other. I mean, I'm looking at their year. I mean, I know that you know this, but when you actually see it, I'm just going to take you backwards from 2024 backwards for a little bit.
Yeah.
2-8, yep. 6-11. All right, 9-7-1. Good. 4-13, 6-10, 4-12, 5-11, 3-13.
Brutal.
You know, you had the one good year with your boy McAdoofus.
11-5, right? They didn't win a playoff game, obviously.
No, and not only did they not win the playoff game, but, you know, they're not even, they're in Miami on the boat thing, and that's stupid, and they're dropping touchdowns and passes to start the game.
And he was an offensive guy, and they still had Eli at the time, and they won because of their defense.
Yeah, and for sure. And the two good years that they've really had in the last, you know, 12 or 13, it was never followed up with another good year. Oh. Even before the 11-5 year, 6-10, 6-10, 7-9. Like, it's just been an absolute snooze fest.
It's when you're right. When you, like, we lived it, but when you actually hear it like that, even by the way, the year that went to the playoffs and won a playoff game, like 9-7-1.
Yep. And they were 1-4-1 in the division that year, if you remember.
Yeah, like,
and they're 0-5 at home this year. Like, they're last in scoring. It's just gross.
So how are we supposed to expect a way out? You're right, there's always a way out, but they haven't found it for a decade.
No. But I think the only thing that you latch on to eventually, you know, eventually the right person comes in and he fixes it. Think about how bad the Giants were before Parcells. And Bill almost got fired after his first year, and they gave him room. It was a different world, a different NFL. You know, less pressure, sports radio, not screaming every day, and, you know, websites and clicks and social media. You can exist beneath the bubble of displeasure a little bit easier back then. It's tougher now.
Ben is in Brick. What's up, Ben?
Hey, boys. First time, long time. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Hey, I just wanted to say a couple things. So I'm actually stationed down in D.C., so I'm calling you guys from D.C. right now. And I just wanted to say that I could beat the dead horse of Woody Johnson being a terrible Jets owner for the last 24 years. But, you know, ownership really does make the biggest difference of it all. I mean, look at the Commanders right now. They're a fun team to watch. And I just wish that one day Woody would sell this team. But again, I'm not going to go down that road. I just wanted to say, you know, I don't know what the way forward is with this team. But I'm a season ticket holder, and for the first time in my Army career, I'm close enough to drive home for games. And I don't know if I want to drive home for games anymore, just because it's just hard for me to put it to words. But, you know, BT was saying how How could we go to these games? How could we do this? And I agree. I don't want to go to any more games. But, you know, the experience, the tailgate, seeing all my buddies every week.
I know.
I truly miss that. I think that's what just keeps us coming back for more.
Yep.
And it's just, it's horrible. Boys, I mean, BT, do you have anybody in mind, other than what you've probably said earlier today,
yeah,
of who can come in and change his culture, not name Mike Tomlin or somebody like
Belichick or Vrabel?
Yeah, I mean, those are the only two options. And, Ben, more importantly, thank you for your service.
Yes.
And everything that you do. We appreciate it and glad to have you call us on Veterans Day. And, look, good luck to your Jets. I mean, and look, if it's not bringing you enjoyment, I wouldn't take the time driving up. But what's the way out? I mean, who are they going to hire? There is no clear-cut guy. Look, Harbaugh was available. Jim Harbaugh got hired this year, this offseason. Look at what the Chargers are doing. We begged and pleaded for it. Nope, don't want to do that. And maybe they didn't want to do it in part because Aaron Rodgers, which we also said was a mistake at that point.
Mm.
When you're talking about hiring that type of guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, from the top of the planet snapshot, yeah, sure, take Harbaugh. But you never know how these things work. Like, was there a reach out to Harbaugh's reps and, hey, just throw an eye out? Maybe you know somebody in the agency. Any interest in coaching the Jets?
All right, but how about years ago? Now he had better options.
Yeah. I got you.
You know what I mean? Like, he was available years ago.
I understand. But if they were rebuffed this past offseason, like, off the record, like, hey, we're not doing it, or he doesn't want to work with Aaron, or, like, whatever it may have been, that's what complicates this. Now, Rodgers, again, I did it earlier in the show. You go back on the Free Odyssey app. There's a way to divorce yourself from Rodgers. It's not as bloody financially as maybe you think. There is a way out. But Woody's got to have the appetite to look basically like a fool.
Jody is in Warren, New Jersey. What's up, Jody?
Hey, guys. Big fan, as you know. Hey, BT. That's my dog. Sorry. I love the Unkillable podcast. That's something that was great last night.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Yeah, you do a great job.
A little therapeutic.
It really is. And I like the fact that he said, these people losing their minds about the Jets. Like, there's other important things as well.
Yeah, perspective. Yeah, definitely.
It's amazing to me, BT, that these guys are professional football players and soft gardener. Like, you can't tackle. Such fundamental stuff that I learned in high school, if it was Parcells in there or Belichick, they'd be sitting his butt down the next game. That's another thing that's not done. I don't understand that.
Well, he's not as good as we thought. That's what everybody needs to understand. And, Jody, thanks for the call. Think about Soft Gardner in this regard. So they didn't throw at him, right, because of his reputation and, his ball skills. Okay. He had a chance. I know I'm going to throw some randoms here. But he had a chance to, in week two last year down in Dallas, he would have had a pick six instead, right off his hands, which are made out of stone. So he doesn't make interceptions. Now that the referees aren't letting him be as handsy in coverage, he's not nearly as effective in coverage. And now, because he's throwing flags on him when he gets handsy, he's less handsy, which means receivers can manipulate space against him more. And then once that happens, he can't tackle them. Like, it's all the domino effect. It's not like suddenly things have changed where, wow, so how did Sauce forget how to play football? No, it's the exploitation of things that he doesn't do well, and he's never going to be a good tackler. Even if he really goes to work and puts on 8 to 10 pounds and what, he's just not a strong tackler.
He would be, I was thinking about this, he would be great at two-hand touch.
I
think Sauce Gardner would be great at two-hand touch. By the way, you mentioned the one last year. He dropped the one in Minnesota this year.
Oh, I know.
I mean, that could have changed the game in the Jets season.
I know.
What does he do? I've been saying he's overrated for... I can't even get worked up.
See, this is like an endless... It's like a circle we go through.
I know.
We're not going to yell about Jones, we yell. We're not going to yell about the Jets, we yell. And here we are at the end of another Monday show, getting ready to hand off to Evan and Tiki. And I'm sure they'll be yelling at some point. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they're going to say. But I know what we say. They both stink. They're basically unwatchable. And right now it feels hopeless. It's not hopeless, but it feels that way.
And maybe tomorrow we turn our attention to Soto.
No, I'm ready.
Me
something
too.
Different. I need some baseball tomorrow.
All right, that does it for us. Thanks, everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hoff as well. Most importantly, thank you to all the vets. Happy Veterans Day for all of you who continue to make the ultimate sacrifice. That does it for us. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.